The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you wishing to construct a tower does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
During Pope John Paul II's pontificate, he saw 483 canonizations of new saints. Average is about 18 a year. Famous among them, saints like St. Maximilian Kolbe and St. Gianna Beretta Mola. Of course, he had 26 and a half years to do all those canonizations. Pope Benedict XVI was pope for only 7 years, and he canonized 45 saints, notably St. Theodore Guérin here in Indiana and St. Kateri Tekakwitha, the Lily of the Mohawks. Pope Francis canonized 942 saints. And it's kind of cheating because there was a group of 813 martyrs, so they kind of inflated his numbers. But I mean, among the great saints that he saw, their canonization was Mother Teresa, whose feast day was just on Friday, and St. John Paul II, aforementioned. Over the years, the process of naming saints has evolved. In the early church, the first centuries, it was either if you were martyred, you shed your blood for Christ, that was the sign that you are indeed in heaven. Otherwise, it would be a reputation of holiness that spreads far and wide, and that was enough. But it was around the 10th century they had to kind of formalize the process a bit, have structure to it. And even to this day, there's a structure of going from being a servant of God to venerable and ultimately blessed and then a saint. And it takes two miracles through that person's intercession that are unexplainable medically. I remember I had a privilege of, my undergrad years at the University of Notre Dame, the prefect or the head of the congregation, the dicastery for the causes of saints, was on campus to give a talk about the faith in Western Europe. And I was invited to be a part of this student luncheon with him or breakfast, I can't remember. And we all had chances to ask him questions about his job because he gets to see this process through there in the Vatican. And my question, of course, you'd want to like come across as really smart. You know, you're in front of a cardinal of the Catholic Church, so you're trying to not look stupid. And I said, you know, there's a lot of, you know, saints who were cloistered nuns and religious sisters. And there's a lot of religious ordered priests, and there's a few diocesan priests that are saints. And it seems like, would the church benefit maybe in some places to have more like lay saints or married saints and things like that? Like, how do you prioritize? And his answer, I'll never forget. He said, "We don't prioritize. We follow the miracles. Like, the Lord does the prioritization. If he knows that a certain people, a certain group of people, a certain country need a saint, to aspire to and have in his intercession, he will provide a miracle through their intercession and show to them that's who is my priority. And I thought that was a beautiful reminder that it's God who makes saints. And of course, I bring all this up not because it's All Saints Day, that's a couple months away, but because today in Rome, you may know that Pope Leo XIV is overseeing his first canonization mass. And among them are a couple of famous blesseds who are now called saints, Saint Pier Giorgio Frassati and Saint Carlo Acutis. And I won't give you a thorough biography of these two saints. I've done that in the bulletin, and I know you read that every week without fail, so you'll read that. You can do your research on your own. But both of them grew up in Italy, Pier Giorgio from 1901 to 1925, and Carlo Acutis 1991 to 2006. He's considered the first millennial saint. And I love the saints, and I hope that comes across the way I talk about them, but I think it's important for us to reflect on saints, grow in devotion to them for a number of reasons. Number one, it broadens our idea of what the church is and who is a member of the church. Oftentimes we think about, well, it's just the people in our parish or people in the Catholic Church, and the reality is it's every member of the baptized. Through their baptism, they're grafted into Christ, made a mystical member of his body, him as the head. And it's true of every living member on this earth, but it's also those who have died and gone before us. They're just as much a member of the church. Yes, the souls who are suffering and being purified in purgatory, we'll talk about them on November 2nd. And ultimately, it's the saints glorified. And it's not just a matter of admiration. That's a part of it. I want to admire some of these people, but they're my brothers and sisters, and they can intercede for me, and we can have friendship. It's not mere admiration. And we'll begin to do more than admire them when we become convinced of this, and I've become convinced of it. Saints are the happiest people who have ever lived. We have to believe that. That they indeed, and the main reason, because they successfully completed the project of reordering their hearts. They all understood, every one of those saints, we are born with original sin, and there's effects of that. Our darkened intellect, I can't understand God as clearly, and that's the theme of the first reading today from the Book of Wisdom. And I have a weakened will. And oftentimes my desires can be disproportionate or insufficient. My loves can be out of order. We all have a tendency to make limited goods in this life and make them absolute. Good things in this life, the world that God has given us, we make them too prominent. Things like wealth, our possessions, our comfort, our leisure, our jobs, pleasure, admiration, awards, recognition, popularity, all these things, they can't make us happy. It's impossible. They're finite goods. And ultimately, if we can not complete that project of reordering our loves, then our life is in some ways a tragedy because we can't live the happiness we were made for. And that's the point of the saints. By God's grace, their hearts were reordered and the Lord Jesus was the love of their life. He was their all in all. And that's why the joy that he wanted to give them could be unleashed. And that kind of makes sense of the gospel today. The gospel, they're hard words. You can't follow me unless you hate your mom and dad and brother and sister. That's super awkward today for me because my mom and my dad and my brother and sister are here at Mass today. What is the Lord saying? First of all, he is deliberately providing shock value by saying these words. And his point is saying, if you want to follow me, if you want to have the joy that I've made you for, you can't love these things more than me. And I would dare say my family doesn't want me to love them more than God. The reordering of our hearts so that the Lord might be our all in all, such that I am willing to sacrifice anything for his sake. That's why he says, if you wish to follow me, you've got to pick up your cross and you've got to die to yourself. And that's why the saints, even when they experience suffering and illness, because Carlo Acutis died at age 15, Frassati died at age 24. You'd think, man, that sounds like a tragedy. No. Pure joy of union with Christ, the love of their life, all the way to the end. The Lord today in the gospel is asking for allegiance. He is asking for absolute loyalty, that he might be our all in all. And then he can unleash the gift that he has made us for. A loyalty that knows no limits. And that loyalty has to go beyond mere admiration, because that's not enough for the Lord. And that's a reminder that no matter who we're talking about in this world, whether it's the NFL quarterbacks that we'll see on television, we're talking about our pop stars, our company CEOs, no matter how much money, how much awards, how much pleasure, whatever it is, their life will be a tragedy unless they let the Lord reorder their hearts. And so it is with us. Our lives will be a tragedy unless we let the Lord, by his grace, reorder our hearts. Today, the Lord is asking for our loyalty, a loyalty that has no limits. That's the stuff of saints. And you know what they say about saints? The happiest people on earth.